Chapter 2. But Selden, while he did not forget Amaryl's warning, did not think of it with any great degree of concentration. His 40th birthday came and went, with the usual psychological blow. 40. He was not young any longer. Life no longer stretched before him as a vast, uncharted field, its horizon lost in the distance. He had been on Trantor for 8 years, and the time had passed quickly. Another 8 years, and he would be nearly 50. Old age would be looming. And he had not even made a decent beginning in psychohistory. Hugo Amaryl spoke brightly of laws and worked out his equations by making daring assumptions based on intuition. But how could one possibly test those assumptions? Psychohistory was not yet an experimental science. The complete study of psychohistory would require experiments that would involve worlds of people, centuries of time, and a total lack of ethical responsibility. It posed an impossible problem, and he resented having to spend any time whatever on departmental tasks, so he walked home at the end of the day in a morose mood. Ordinarily, he could always count on a walk through the campus to rouse his spirits. Streeling University was high-domed, and the campus gave the feeling of being out in the open without the necessity of enduring the kind of weather he had experienced on his one and only visit to the Imperial Palace. There were trees, lawns, walks, almost as though he were on the campus of his old college on his home world of Helicon. The illusion of cloudiness had been arranged for the day, with the sunlight, no sun of course, just sunlight, appearing and disappearing at odd intervals. And it was a little cool, just a little. It seemed to Selden that the cool days came a little more frequently than they used to. Was Trantor saving energy? Was it increasing inefficiency? Or, and he scowled inwardly as he thought of it, was he getting old and was his blood getting thin? He placed his hands in his jacket pockets and hunched up his shoulders. Usually he did not bother guiding himself consciously. His body knew the way perfectly from his offices to his computer room and from there to his apartment and back. Generally he negotiated the path with his thoughts elsewhere, but today a sound penetrated his consciousness, a sound without meaning. Joe, 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 Joe. It was rather soft and distant, but it brought back a memory. Yes, Amaryl's warning, the demagogue. Was he here on campus? His legs swerved without Selden's making a conscious decision and brought him over the low rise to the university field, which was used for calisthenic sports and student oratory. In the middle of the field was a moderate-sized crowd of students who were chanting enthusiastically. On a platform was someone he didn't recognize, someone with a loud voice and a swaying rhythm. It wasn't this man Joranum, however. He had seen Joranum on holovision a number of times. Since Amaryl's warning, Selden had paid close attention. Joranum was large and smiled with a kind of vicious camaraderie. He had thick sandy hair and light blue eyes. This speaker was small, if anything, thin, wide-mouthed, dark-haired, and loud. Selden wasn't listening to the words, though he did hear the phrase, "Power from the one to the many," and the many-voiced shout in response. Fine, thought Selden, but just how does he intend to bring this about? And is he serious? He was at the outskirts of the crowd now and looked around for someone he knew. He spotted Finangelos, a pret-math undergraduate, not a bad young man, dark and woolly-haired. "Finangelos," he called out. "Professor Selden," said Finangelos, after a moment of staring, as though unable to recognize Selden without a keyboard at his fingertips. He trotted over. "Did you come to listen to this guy?" "I didn't come for any purpose but to find out what the noise was. Who is he?" "His name's Namati, Professor. He's speaking for Jojo." "I hear that," said Selden, as he listened to the chant again. It began each time the speaker made a telling point, apparently. "But who is this Namati? I don't recognize the name. What department is he in?" "He's not a member of the university, Professor. He's one of Jojo's men." "If he's not a member of the university, he has no right to speak here without a permit. Does he have one, do you suppose?" "I wouldn't know, Professor." "Well, then, let's find out." Selden started into the crowd, but Finangelos caught his sleeve. "Don't start anything, Professor. He's got goons with him." There were six young men behind the speaker, spaced rather widely, legs apart, arms folded, scowling. Goons? The rough stuff, in case anyone tries anything funny. Then he's certainly not a member of the university, and even a permit wouldn't cover what you call his goons. Finangelos signalled through to the university security officers. They should have been here by now without a signal. I guess they don't want trouble, muttered Finangelos. Please, Professor, don't try anything. If you want me to get the security officers, I will, but you just wait until they come. Maybe I can break this up before they come. He began pushing his way through. It wasn't difficult. Some of those present recognized him, and all could see the professorial shoulder patch. He reached the platform, placed his hands on it, and vaulted up the 3 feet with a small grunt. He thought, with chagrin, that he could have done it with one hand 10 years before and without the grunt. He straightened up. The speaker had stopped talking and was looking at him with wary and ice-hard eyes. Selden said calmly, "Your permit to address the students, sir." "Who are you?" said the speaker. He said it loudly, his voice carrying. "I'm a member of the faculty of this university," said Selden, equally loudly. "Your permit, sir?" "I deny your right to question me on the matter." The young men behind the speaker had gathered closer. "If you have none, I would advise you to leave the university grounds immediately." "And if I don't?" "Well, for one thing, the university security officers are on their way," he turned to the crowd. "Students," he called out, "we have the right of free speech and freedom of assembly on this campus, but it can be taken away from us if we allow outsiders without permits to make unauthorized..." A heavy hand fell on his shoulder, and he winced. He turned around and found it was one of the men Finangelos had referred to as goons. The man said with a heavy accent, whose provenance Selden could not immediately identify, "Get out of here, fast." "What good will that do?" said Selden. "The security officers will be here any minute." "In that case," said Namati, with a feral grin, "there'll be a riot. That doesn't scare us." "Of course it wouldn't," said Selden. "You'd like it. But there won't be a riot. You'll all go quietly." He turned again to the students and shrugged off the hand on his shoulder. "We'll see to that, won't we?" Someone in the crowd shouted, "That's Professor Selden. He's all right. Don't pound him." Selden sensed ambivalence in the crowd. There would be some, he knew, who would welcome a dust-up with the university security officers, just on general principles. On the other hand, there had to be some who liked him personally and still others who did not know him, but who would not want to see violence against a member of the faculty. A woman's voice rang out, "Watch out, Professor!" Selden sighed and regarded the large young men he faced. He didn't know if he could do it, if his reflexes were quick enough, his muscles sturdy enough, even given his prowess at twisting. One goon was approaching him, overconfidently, of course. Not quickly, which gave Selden a little of the time his aging body would need. The goon held out his arm confrontationally, which made it easier. Selden seized the arm, whirled, and bent, arm up, and then down, with a grunt. Why did he have to grunt? And the goon went flying through the air, propelled partly by his own momentum. He landed with a thump on the outer edge of the platform, his right shoulder dislocated. There was a wild cry from the audience at this totally unexpected development. Instantly an institutional pride erupted. "Take them, Prof!" a lone voice shouted. Others took up the cry. Selden smoothed back his hair, trying not to puff. With his foot he shoved the groaning fallen goon off the platform. "Anyone else?" he asked pleasantly. "Or will you leave quietly?" He faced Nomati and his 5 henchmen, and as they paused irresolutely, Selden said, "I warn you, the crowd is on my side now. If you try to rush me, they'll take you apart." "Okay, who's next?" "Let's go, one at a time." He had raised his voice with the last sentence and made small come-hither motions with his fingers. The crowd yelled its pleasure. Namati stood there stolidly. Selden leapt past him and caught his neck in the crook of his arm. Students were climbing onto the platform now, shouting, "One at a time, one at a time," and getting between the bodyguards and Selden. Selden increased the pressure on the other's windpipe and whispered in his ear, "There's a way to do this, Namati, and I know how. I've practiced it for years. If you make a move and try to break away, I'll ruin your larynx so that you'll never talk above a whisper again. If you value your voice, do as I say. When I let up, you tell your bunch of bullies to leave. If you say anything else, they'll be the last words you'll say normally. And if you ever come back to this campus again, no more Mr. Nice Guy. I'll finish the job." He released the pressure momentarily. "Now, Marty," said huskily, "all of you, get out!" They retreated rapidly, helping their stricken comrade. When the university security officers arrived a few moments later, Selden said, "Sorry, gentlemen, false alarm." He left the field and resumed his walk home with more than a little chagrin. He had revealed a side of himself he did not want to reveal. He was Harry Selden, mathematician. Not Harry Selden, sadistic twister. Besides, he thought gloomily, Dawes would hear of this. In fact, he'd better tell her himself, lest she hear a version that made the incident seem worse than it really was. She would not be pleased.